All right, here we go. Welcome to Wake in the Future. I am Pat, and there is no Joel this evening, but I do have Tony down in Mexico and Alex down in Mexico. Guys, both of yous, welcome. Happy to have yous on tonight.
Good evening.
Hi guys, how are you? Pleasure and honor to be here. And finally, we're sharing the screen with Tony and Pat, and we're missing Joel. Okay.
Yeah, right. Go figure, man. Guys, we'd had this big plan. We were gonna try to get this four-way chat going and all this, and we've been talking about it for like 2 months. And it's just like, yeah. So basically, guys, I just,
Let's all take turns answering for Joel.
yeah, there we go. We can do that.
He'll love
Yeah.
that. He'll love that.
Well, I mean, we won't have to say too much. He's a quiet guy at times, but
That's
when we speak,
exact.
we'll have to. But no, guys, as Joel's down in Florida, kind of enjoying his actual honeymoon that kind of got canceled earlier this year. So he's
Yeah.
taking the week, and I had a couple of
That was for
emails. Actually,
Joel.
you guys will be seeing some more of me with some guests in the upcoming days, because I had some emails and I chatted with these guys here that I got with us tonight. Saying, hey, we'll come on and kind of like fill in for Joel a little bit while he's gone. So I'm like, all right, maybe we can do something here. So yeah, so here we go. So well, we're kind of chatting before we started recording, guys, on like, hey, what kind of topic should we start out with kind of discussing a little bit? And finances and currencies and all these things tend to come up quite a bit these days. They're talking a lot about all of these things, and central bank digital currencies being one of them. And as it's always in the background, you'll get the people talking about the financial collapses and things like that. The dollar will go to zero, or the pound, which literally did take a pounding not that long ago, and so many other currencies all around the world experiencing the inflations and all the rest of these things. So, Tony, let's start with you, man. What are your thoughts on that?
Okay, well, it's an interesting subject. I just was reflecting on the things I was saying years ago. In fact, I just posted something
I
about the
saw that.
financial collapse. And I, in listening to it again, I thought, oh, how interesting that I was ready for the financial collapse 6 years ago based on what everyone was saying. Then it was all about the BRICS being established at that time, right? You had Russia and China and India and South Africa and Brazil all coming together to make a, and now they're announcing that Saudi Arabia is going to join it to really. So it's funny how that's what got me listening, actually. I remember now is seeing that come across my screen, Saudi Arabia to, maybe join BRICS. And I thought, oh boy, that really rounds out that sort of anti-hegemony to the dollar. And so anyway, I thought what I reflected on was really important because it was kind of the history of how we got the dollar from the British pound after World War One and the whole Bretton Woods, and then how the dollar was supposed to be backed by gold. That's what was supposed to give it its legitimacy as a world currency. And that only lasted for 25 years because everyone could see that the American bankers, the central bankers, were printing more dollars than, than was legitimate. In other words, they were cheating, extending their buying power with more dollars, even though they didn't really have the gold to back it. So it was De Gaulle in France in 1970 that finally said, okay, for 69 or something, said, okay, that's fine. We've been holding on to all these dollars that we get in
We'll take
payment
our gold back now.
French cheese and stuff that we send you, all our crummy cars and beautiful cheeses and wines. We send you that and you give us these dollars which are depreciating. So I'm going to buy the gold that you promised at 35. We'll just redeem all these dollars right now. And boom, okay, no more gold standard. So then they had to put it on a petro. They backed the dollars legitimacy as the world reserve currency by linking it to oil futures, since that's the energy that runs the world. So now you've got, instead of a hard currency, you get kind of this fluid currency, but it's still a commodity backed currency. And so that's why when I look at the bigger perspective of, say, a World War III Pike thing, boy, it's sure convenient now if you're setting it up where you mean the oil producing nations are maybe going to threaten that dollar supremacy, since it's now linked to almost, it's, you know, everybody sees how the printing, therefore, has put us almost in that same position that De Gaulle was in then. You know, the money's becoming worthless under everybody's nose. The economy is, you know, where's it going from here? They're announcing, even today I saw something in the news about, they're saying that we're just not cutting out our carbon footprint fast enough. We're not going to make the 2030 goal of the zero carbon. But and so therefore, of course, that just means more pressure, which means worse economy, which means, you know, which funny enough, I'll pass it to Alex. But to me, the weird thing about all this is not only has the dollar not crashed as it, you know, legitimately should have through all these machinations showing there's something bigger holding it up, but in fact, it's the tool that it is enabling this reducing us to rubble, right? In other words, because there's nothing been backing it, because they have found these excuses to keep printing and printing and printing and printing without substantiating it through an economy.
Right.
I mean, here we are going into this dark situation. And yeah, what can really, you know, what can come of that? You know, is kind of, I'm asking the same question right now. Certainly nothing good, it would seem. But, no. You know, anyway, Alex, what's coming, you think, from all this?
Well, if you don't mind, I'm also going to share my piece because it's a subject I am very interested on for a while. And I also made an episode like a couple of months ago about money and money as an energy. And in this case, about the dollar specifically, well, after World War II, what I gather is there had to be a currency that was like the reference, okay? So the dollar was chosen because Europe was devastated, basically. So, and yes, it was backed up against gold. If I remember, something was, I don't know how many amount of weight towards $20, something like that, something that you could physically exchange.
$35 an ounce.
Yeah. They stole everybody's gold at $20 an ounce. And
that was in the 30s. That was in the 30s. Yes. Exactly. I know. Yeah. I know where you're going with that. Yes. That was in the 30s where, okay, we need your gold and then we're going to give back gold for money.
Yes.
Okay. So basically stealing. Okay.
Yeah.
So yeah, if we fast forward to the 1971, I think it was, Nixon said, you know, no more gold for dollars, because, you know, as Tony was saying, actually it became like it was going to be very advantageous for whoever had dollars outside the United States to actually exchange those for gold. It was going to be more worthwhile than the dollar, than the value of the currency. So after that, basically it was backed up against nothing. Yes, petrodollar against petro, but at the end, currencies became something imaginary in the sense that they're backed up by the country. So I want to make an example here, and I'll use Mexico as an example. So we fast forward to 2008, the Mexican peso was 10 pesos for $1. That was before the aircraft crisis. And right now it's stable around 20 pesos for $1. So in 14 years, the peso has lost 50% of its value.
Yeah.
With that, we also have to see that what it's right now becoming like the standard to value a currency is not even the output of the countries it used to be before or something like that, is the interest rates provided by the country. In this case, Mexico always has 3-4% more than the Fed. So if the Fed is around zero, years ago, Mexico was 3-4%. Right now, Mexico is around 9-10%, the interest rate. So that's why the peso is holding in a way, even in the country, maybe it shouldn't be like that. So the British pound, what happened, and Europe hold interest rates very low. And that was by design after that crisis. That was to get the ball rolling again, cheap money, basically. And in a way, they were in a very difficult position because against the dollar and the Fed increasing rates, it was obvious that the euro and the pound were going to take a pounding. And a lot of people made, believe me, in these past few months, a lot of money predicting that. That was very evident. that as soon as the differential between rates of the Fed with the European Central Bank and the UK has its own bank, Europe has a bank that covers the European Union, but the UK was always separate with the British pound.
Right.
And they didn't continue with the Fed like most countries. Mexico did that and preferred to make money more expensive. That means credit becomes more expensive. That means the economy doesn't roll on as it should be. So it slows down, it cools down. And so it was an election, basically. They were setting up their currencies to be devalued.
Mm-hmm.
As far as, you know, setting up for all currencies going to zero, I don't know about that. I think it's going to be more, this is what is creating inflation among an artificial scarcity that is not there. There a lot of products like chips and that, they're saying basically it's because of the pandemic that there is such a demand right now that items are scarce. And because they're scarce, they have to rise in price.
Yeah.
And that's not real. It's an artificial scarcity they're doing right now, trying to devalue the money only with the only purpose, in my humble opinion, with the only purpose of bothering us, of making us vibrate lower, to be afraid, to be fearful, to be enraged among each other. Because when you have financial problems, in this reality, we only have air, and that's it. Everything else is money, okay?
Yeah.
This share was money. I could do it myself, probably, but it's very difficult to live through the elements.
Yeah.
I remember this movie with Harrison Ford, Mosquito Coast. You probably guys...
What
I've
is
seen
it?
Mosquito Coast.
Yeah.
Mosquito in the 80s. Coast?
Yeah.
Yeah. He basically wants to live from the elements. So he takes his family to Central America.
Mm-hmm.
And they try to start like this community we have spoke about, and it mm-hmm. totally backfires. I mean, so that's possible, but it's very difficult. And if
yeah.
you're able to do it, the system is going to find you. Like
yeah.
the story you shared with Joel a few months ago of this family that they went out there in the wilderness and they didn't want to bother anyone. And they probably will have their own ways to generate energy and everything. And the system is going to find you and it's going to either kill you or make you whatever. Yeah. Make you fall in their system. So going back to currencies and financials, what I think right now it really goes back to a point. It's part of their little agendas they're doing to keep us again afraid. And Tony was saying something I think is related because I have family in Italy and they have told me for months now, official Italian channel, like government channel and government media. Is coming out this winter is going to be, you know, very hard.
Mm.
And who knows if the government run system of they have on the houses a system. I share a picture with you guys. It's something that it runs hot water through there that it heats up, you know, buildings and apartments and all that. And they
yeah.
are saying,
yeah,
we don't know.
The radiator. Yeah.
Radiator. Yes.
Yeah. Radiators. Yeah.
They
yeah.
say, yeah. we don't know if this winter is special. First time since World War II, we don't know if that's going to work this winter.
Yeah.
So prepare yourself and that.
Yeah.
I think it's all of a fear. It's part of the fear campaign.
Sure.
And
well,
it's basically that.
It's interesting. I mean, you guys made some really great points on a lot of those things, you know, from the gold confiscation, you know, to the removal of the gold standard, you know, Bretton Woods ending, all of those things. I mean, those are all things most people do, you know, they do have some knowledge or at least have heard of those things, you know, but when the petrodollar came into, you know, being in the 70s, really what it was, you know, basically the United States saying to Saudi Arabia and the rest of the world, here's our military and, you know, here's how we're going to now, you know, buy and sell oil. And that's held pretty firm, you know, through the decades. The BRICS thing, Tony, that you mentioned, you know, when they started talking about, you know, trading oil in, you know, ruples or in Chinese yuan, you know, that created some pretty big uproar. And, you know, that is something where... If the petrodollar were to go away tomorrow, the United States would be in some deep, deep shit. And I don't know that that is something that the United States dollar could actually recover from. You know, something you mentioned, Alex, is, you know, currency is potentially going to zero. If we really look at it, right, all currencies are zero, right? I mean, the only reason that any currency, in, you know, regardless of the country you live in, the only reason it has any value is because the citizens, the working class people, actually use it, right? I mean, we're put in a position of, you know, either you will go to work and you will do XYZ, you will pay XYZ in taxes, you'll do all these things. And this is what you'll be rewarded with, right? I mean, you know, you talked about that Harrison Ford movie. I'd never seen it. But, you know, this idea that, you know, we could live in a way where we actually could barter, you know, for our goods and services, right? Kind of like how it was done. Well, not differently, actually different. In Atlas Shrugged, I'm thinking of in Atlas Shrugged, you know, where they were in the valley there. But, you know, there is ways that those things can happen. But currently, like you said, Alex, we depend on money, right? I mean, unfortunately, that is what society kind of has pushed us all into. And, you know, we can understand that it's a slave labor thing. We can understand all of these things about it, but ultimately that's where it is. So that leads me to the next kind of thing is, so putting a time frame on anything is pretty much impossible, right? I mean, tomorrow we might all wake up, all the markets may have gone to zero and oh my God, right? More than likely not going to happen. It could happen a decade from now. It might never happen ever. It's hard to say, but one thing is for sure is the way that we have currency out there today is something that they are certainly changing, right? We can try and ignore it all we want. We can say, oh, no, that's all bullshit. But the reality is this, you know, when Bitcoin launched back in, what was that?
2009.
Was it nine or 11? I can't remember. Whoa, I said 11.
2009.
Yeah, 2009, you know, I think honestly that was the beginning of this trial on these central bank digital currencies. And the reason why those are going to be so important in the future is because, you know, the reality is these currencies are worth nothing, right? I mean, if we all decide to stop tomorrow, right, if we could get enough people to stop tomorrow wanting dollars or wanting pesos or wanting, you know, yuan or rubies, what do they have?
Well, right? Pat, I think there's a certain part of that, of course, idealistically, that's true. Mm. But the reason that it's not practically doesn't make any sense is that, and also even, I don't know if I disagree, I just want to bring up a different point about money. It's the focal point of the movement of the whole world. That's why they'll go after you if you try and live Mosquito Coast on your own or in the woods, because that's why, in my view, they went after the indigenous people who are seem to be who you're trying to describe there, as far as living a barter. So, you know, they didn't have money in the sense that we call currency,
right?
But currency, yes, their currency might have been beads or fish or, you know, some dried fruit or whatever was worth something to somebody else was always currency. And as far as labor, you know, that they're two different things. There's always been slavery, which is simply sort of a forced labor where you don't get for your labor the very thing that you would like, you know, to put your labor into for yourself, but you're like coerced. It's like taxes, right?
Right. That's what I mean when I said slavery there. Yeah.
That's right. It's like taxes is theft. It's slavery. It's all coercion. So on one hand, we're weighing this ideal. But on the other hand, what I think we started talking about was this financial world. Where are we going with what, like you just brought up, this digital? Because that's what I've been seeing for many years, that, of course, these people aren't suddenly doing anything. They're always in the process of.
Yes.
So that's why, okay, Bitcoin or whatever, you know, was something that they always knew would take 10 or 20 years of some sort of data, you know, whatever you call it, mining, to figure out, you know, how does it work really? Mm-hmm. How do people accept it? What do they do with it? like electric. I mean, we had electric cars, you know, 100 years ago.
Right.
You know, they decided not to develop those.
Raleigh cars, the whole nine yards, man.
You had independent rich people wanting to get in the car business and do their own thing. Yeah. They weren't allowed. So, mm-hmm. so it's as if there's some hidden hand that has a plan, and the tools fit somebody's plan. And so money, man, you can't mm-hmm. underestimate the power and weight and centrality and pretend it's some fantasy thing that we give credit to. No, I'm sorry. If you live in their system,
yeah.
you give credit to it like you do air. You can't breathe without it because that's the system you live in. Mm-hmm. You're a fish in water.
Yeah.
You might have used to be an amphibian that could walk on land, but now you're a fish in water with gills, and you can't live without the money. They've made it that way. So yeah. I say that money's a very central theme in their plan. That's why they promise that we're going to have more of it, and they show us the images of, oh, the good life. And I've always been pointing out in the movies increasingly how, no matter what the movie's about, the main characters always are affluent people that have humongous houses full yeah. of gorgeous stuff. Like, none of my friends live in houses like that.
And they're school teachers.
Because the school teacher's parents, you know, own the hospital in town, and so yeah. they live on 40 acres, and she grows up riding horses, and it's like, wow, no matter what the story's about, a nurse, a school teacher, or a politician, doesn't matter, every set where they show a home is some big lavish home. Why? Because psychological warfare. You're supposed yeah. to realize that, oh, yeah. what? You mean you don't have that, Pat? Mm-hmm. Oh, Alex, you mean you don't walk into a big piano room? That's, you mean, when your relatives don't come over, they don't drive up in a big Mercedes and get out in a big expansive yard. Well,
and that's kind of what,
big foyer.
That's kind of what I was getting at.
You
with
mean you don't
all
live
of
that?
It is,
you mean you don't live that way?
You know, the idea of money and what it is and what we've been forced into with it, you know. So, I mean, the idea of money, right, makes perfect sense. Okay, I mean, because, you know, between the three of us, we're trying to you know, barter and trade together, and none of us have anything that each other wants, right? But then we have this one central idea that can work, where we can then go and that was where it all started. And, you know, gold and silver could always work as that way, you know, and there are a lot of people out there, and I am somebody, I don't have any gold. I have very little gold. I have a little bit of silver and, you know, things like that. But there, you know, the idea that we can go without money today, you're right, to a degree. I mean, it's, how can it be done? Because unfortunately, anybody, and Joel says this all the time, and this will be Joel's, you know, kind of interjection here. If you're watching us, you're in the system, right? Because you're not getting an internet connection. You're not going to be on a laptop, you know, and not be a part of the system, right? And and that's the reality. And it's hard to grasp. And a lot of people don't want to accept it at times. I get that. I mean, for me, it kills me at times, you know, because here I am, like this week alone, you know, I've been working my ass off. You know, my boss had to go attend to some things back home. And, you know, I've been kind of, you know, holding the reins for him while he's gone. And it's brutal. You know, it's not exactly, you know, what I want to be doing, you know, with my life. But at the same time, I'm pretty happy. You know, I'm not a miserable guy at work. I'm a happy guy at work. And, you know, I enjoy the work that I do to a degree. But it's like, dude, I mean, like anybody, I can think of anything I'd rather be doing than trading my time for, you know, money. But it is one of those things. Now, the thing with central bank digital currencies that I can see happening is, you know, as people start to say more and more, you know, I don't want to do this, or maybe, you know, more and more people are getting into the dependency on government money, you know, these, this universal basic incomes that a lot of people are on. I mean, that's just a reality. It doesn't matter really what country you're in. I don't know how, actually, how about Mexico? I'm not sure. I can't speak for that, but I know, you know, over in Europe, a lot of the countries there is a form of it. Here in the United States, welfare and all the rest of these things. And getting these central bank digital currencies rolling would be easy for them in a case of anybody who gets their money through government. And then as they start to make those transitions, and we're seeing a lot of the transitions already with the debit cards, right? For it used to be you swipe your card, then it's, oh, you insert the chip. Now it's got the three rings or whatever the hell it is on there. And you just hold your debit card up there and it automatically does all these things. And you can see all these transitions. The time frame's big, but what kind of control would they garner by having these? That's the big one. And Alex, let's hear your take on that. The thoughts on how much control they would garner from having that.
Well, my question will be, don't they have already that control? Because as you say, debit cards and credit cards are all over the world. I mean, you can almost go any place and mm-hmm. there's going to be someone that will take a debit or their credit card, especially from the Visa or MasterCard system. So for me, I understand this talk about the central currency, but having known about cryptos for a few years now, I don't find a lot of difference between cryptos and credit cards in the sense of control. Actually, in a way, they will have to come with a different system for cryptos, because the value of Bitcoin and you know, Ethereum, and especially cryptos like Monero, for example, it's the anonymity. I mean, you send the money and the intention is it goes to a blockchain out there in the cloud, mm-hmm. But there's no names, there's no IP address, there's no, I mean, apparently.
Cryptos can be tracked and traced, you know, Pirate Coin and Monero or two that they say.
Yes, they have better algorithms as far as anonymity, but that's why they're more used for crime and stuff like that. But that's
crime. What's crime?
For nefarious purposes, whatever you want to call it. For being below the system. So for me, there's technically speaking, they're already there. I mean, for example, if they don't like what we're saying, they can suspend our bank accounts, mm-hmm. and they can suspend your debit or credit cards. What's the difference with that being a central digital currency? I don't see it as far as the importance to go into the next step, because already countries like Sweden, for example, or Norway, is very difficult to go about it with cash. And actually, the citizens of those countries have embraced the digital methods. I'm sure they will line up for chips on their hands substitute their
or
their
Switzerland, like 10, 15 years ago, when people were starting to get those for like work and shit, so that they could swipe to get into
Pat, we could be using our cell phones, which is like an extension of us right now. Yep. And as you say, you stop with your phone and you have the Apple Pays and all that. So all of those things can be controlled. All of those things can be followed. They could know everything you're doing. Mm-hmm. And for example, if they don't like, for example, who you are sending money to, if they don't like you are donating, for example, to a cause of that they say is disinformation.
We saw that in Canada with the trucker rallies and protests.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So this information, remember, is not that it's accurate or not. This information is what they don't like. It's what they it's against their agenda. It's the point. So we were talking before coming in. I know it's not a huge deal, but the whole PayPal thing going on right now, that apparently if PayPal finds out that you're going to say something against their guidelines, they can fine you $2,500.
Well, and thankfully, I don't have to worry about that. They discharged me from their system.
But that's already been taken back. I mean, that's just a bunch of propaganda bullshit.
The PayPal?
They've
thing?
Already taken it back, and now
it's on already. Apparently, money. They took it back, and it's on.
The comedians are already making fun about it. I mean, it's like anything that becomes these super popular memes.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the important point, Alex, that you were making is that truly they don't sweat control. It's, to me, what I see in all this talk and bullshit is that it's like the chipping everybody and putting everyone in FEMA camps. And so you mean they're going to risk the perfect control they've spent 100 years getting in place for some science fiction? Like it's like with the vaccine is a big experiment. Oh yeah, that makes sense because they have perfect control after 100 years. So let's maybe fuck it all up by having just zombies that we didn't know. Oh shit, what happened? So I believe all those kind of memes, the oh shit, we're incompetent. Mm-hmm. Oh no, what are we gonna do? I believe that's all a bunch of bullshit. And I agree with Alex that they probably have all the control they need, but at the same time, in their world of always progressing towards some ultimate goal, then sure, digital, because the one thing that the currency, any kind of alternative system, gives you the ability to sort of have a stash that's undeclared.
Yeah, cash. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, no, well, cash or jewel. I mean, suppose you could still, trading gold or diamonds or dates or anything. But if they make all that, if there is just no way, because for the safety of everyone, everything's illegal, but digital. But I see that as really, my personal vision of that is they're using the reality of bringing that into view for the future generations, because it's going to happen after depopulation. I'm realizing the more I listen to my stuff from the past, people would find this, I find it ironic. I didn't remember what a vax genocide fan I've always, that I was really on that, the one of their big depopulation methods is clearly through their medical pharmacy.
Well, that's industry, something through that's their been food. Ongoing a long time.
They've been sterilizing people. Yeah. I mean, they've been openly sterilizing people through food programs and vax programs. Yeah. So anyway, that's nothing even like to me. I find it funny because if you listen to me from 6 years ago, you'd think that I'm a big vax genocide guy from today.
Yeah.
Where today, and that's what I say. I mean, I think, well, I guess I am pretty impartial because I was ready to jump on that. They're killing everybody with vaccine. I've been expecting them to kill everyone with vaccines. And now that it's come about, of course, when it happened, I was like, oh shit, here we go. But then, oh, sorry. Not with this one.
I like both of you guys' points on
those things. Now, real quick is, this idea that, and the PayPal thing, I actually didn't hear much on. I actually, it's funny, PayPal, they dispatched me, 8-9 months ago now. But, all these things where, they surface, like you're saying, Tony, these things like, oh, hey, yeah, we're just, we're going to give up this portion of our control or whatever it may be, or, overall, they've got that control. And I think a lot of the vax thing, okay, all of that, people die and they are dying and it's horrible. And everything that's going on in the medical community is atrocious. The entirety of Western medicine, for what good that it actually does, the amount of bad that it does is just overwhelmingly more. And that is like, it's so abundantly clear.
The good is just a cover story for the
Well, it's like when you see a commercial for a pharmaceutical, a new pill that comes out, they list off the side effects.
Yeah.
And the side effects is a mile and a half long. There's 100 side effects. And then they give you the one thing that it helps you with. And it's like, no. That one thing, that's the side effect. All the what they call side effects, those are the effects of the drug that you're about to start taking. And it's interesting because all of these things are all about control when we look at it, right? So currency as we know it today is a control mechanism, right? It keeps us out there producing for others, overall producing, for the taxation, all the rest. The medical establishment, right? This Rockefeller medicine that we live in, this Western medicine where pharmaceutical corporations literally control, it's cradle to the grave addiction in many cases for so many, And it's about control, because now you're on psychotropic drugs or you're on XYZ drugs and they control you because you're now addicted to it. You've been told and you've been sold this idea that if you do not take these things, then there is no going back. And guys, I'm not going to, you know, there are people out there that obviously we're better off if they take some medication. But, you know, this idea that there is no other way around it. You can't find help for somebody without Western medicine, you know, that type of thing. And the list of controls keeps going. The digital currency, and then I'm going to give this back to you, Alex. I know you're like ready to jump in, bro. The digital currency, you know, some of the things that I see that could actually further their control is, you know, obviously you can't stockpile digital currency unless they allow you to do so, right? I was watching a movie. I think I might have talked about it. It's like In Time or something like that. And literally,
time is currency, right?
And if you think about it like that, right? They got it like right here on their arms, and it's this timer and all these things. And you know, the elites, the people that run the world, right? They got hundreds of centuries. You know, they're never gonna die, right? And that's the other big thing, is like you stop aging, but whatever. But then the plebs, right? We people, you know, we have a day, right? And I think the main character in the movie said, I've only ever had a day, you know? So it's like, you know, digital currency would be that exact thing. You know, you've got X, you know, amount of digital currency this month. And if you don't use it at the end of this month, well, you're only getting what you get next month, which might be the same if you keep your, you know, and these are the greater controls they would have. And Alex, you hit the nail on the head, man. Some of the European countries, man, they'd be chomping at the bit. And I know a lot of people here in the United States that would be chomping at the bit as well, man. So sorry. Yes.
Well, a lot of things. I wanted to say something real quick. I took something from my wallet, so I wanted to show it. These I'm holding could be a weapon for the system unit, mm-hmm. because I'm holding it. And for them to take value from it, they have to discredit all of these bills, okay? All of them. They cannot say only Alex's bill is not worth it. That's very important. So that's why physical money is very important. And yes, gold and silver actually take value. They maintain value. It's a good investment if you ever want, you know, you have any excess money. Yeah, buy gold coins, silver coins. They're going to hold value. Cash will lose value eventually through time, even if there is no inflation. But the thing is, they don't want cash is because you can hold it and you can hoard it, as you were saying. Mm-hmm. You can put it under the mattress or whatever. So and it's very difficult for them, and they're going to know that.
Right.
But with a digital currency, yes. What I was trying to say, Pat, is of course it could be like, I think right now it's going more with tokens. Tokens are more like that they have certain value in certain circumstances, mm-hmm. or through time. For example, they could be worth for 24 hours and they lose the value automatically. It's in the technology. Well, I think they could do that with debit and credit cards and regular bank accounts anyway, just an extension of the current system. Right. So the technicalities, if they bring out, if they take us like to a crypto world that cash is gone, and you get paid if you are an employee through whatever your crypto wallet, and it's out there in the blockchain. And yes, as you say, it's only worth it for 24 hours or for the month, and you have to use it, and that's very important. Or if you behave certain way, like on 1984, then it loses value, and you starve. Yes, and you starve because you need air and you need money for everything else. Unfortunately, we cannot go on a tree. It's very difficult. If we're on a tree and grab an apple, that's something on our minds. It's very difficult to do on this reality. And if you're able to do that, you are one of the few. Okay. I wanted to say something about the medical system. I'm sorry that we mix subjects here, but I've been talking, as you know, a lot with Michelle from Ireland, and I sent her a shout out on her new channel, Truth for Trauma. She started this week. She is going to be a very valuable, if you're interested,
yes,
you
watch it. Yes, yeah.
If you're watching and you're interested on the medical field or on Michelle? Getting better medical, go to her channel, subscribe. She's going to bring real explosive stuff. She has figured out in 7 years everything about how you don't need the medical industry, the pharma mm-hmm. industry, and actually is trying to kill you. She has figured out everything that they're doing through vaccines, through... So in a way, it's not that I have a disagreement with Tony. I agree this is not, kill everyone, but they obviously for years now have been trying, at least since the 1900s, have been trying to keep us down through medicine, okay? It was never intended to
no, help well, us. Anyway, I'm not sure I want to keep talking about the medical thing either, because it's, to me, it's all a, everybody already knows it's bullshit. Yeah. It's funny okay. how people misunderstand me because they don't listen to what I've said. But I was the guy saying they've been trying to kill everyone with the medical industry for 100 years. So you would know that we don't disagree, because I'm the one that's been saying that for many years before you started a channel.
I was saying
they're trying to kill everyone with the vaccines. But now that I've been saying that and watching for that for many years, I can testify that today, even though I'm watching for it, I don't see them killing everyone any more than they have been. That's
yes,
all.
Yes.
Any more than they have been.
Totally agree with that.
Interesting.
I think much more important is to really talk about, because I think the digital thing is very interesting, because yeah. Pat nailed it on the head bringing up that movie, which was a really cool dystopic movie.
It just popped in my head.
I'm like, hey, yeah.
It was not only, kind of smart and clever, but it was very eerie in the sense of, it made the connection for me, almost like felt like, ooh, yeah, the digital money control, ultimately, if you take it to its, its ultimate obvious conclusion, is something like that, what that movie portrays. The people, of course, with all the money in the world today, are never going to sacrifice that. They're going to live however they want. Their right. carbon credits, they could murder people. Their social credits, they'll never, ever, ever, for whatever reason, run out of time, right. run out of credits. But the average person who will be actually given just enough to eat day by day, it's the same idea of given just enough time. Mm-hmm. And if you don't live up to a certain standard or whatever, earn, if you don't earn that time today, well, you just drop dead.
Yep.
And so that's just a dystopic way of painting the reality that, sorry, if you can't earn your digital money today,
I think we all know that one person where, if they start running into issues with money, it's, oh my God, my life is over type thing, And I'm somebody, really throughout my entire life, I've never been somebody with an abundance of money in my life. I've always, worked very hard and I've squandered money in my past life, but money has never been a major abundance for me. I've had times where I was flush and times where I was bust, etc., like so many. But one thing is I never viewed it as now I'm fucked. I don't have any money. How am I? I'm like, well, whatever, I'll figure it out. I'll go out and I'll figure it out. But we all know that
money's
one person
been abundant, Pat.
What's that?
Money's been currency. Has been abundant,
right?
Jobs have been abundant.
Yep.
This is, I think, the bigger thing that's more important to talk about than to just rehash what crypto will do, what it could do. Is we know they're heading towards some future of more control. I mean, why not? Not less, but more. And crypto provides, digital money, let's say, provides that control. But how and when and what do we go through between now and then? Because what I see now happening that's much more important than some future of digital money, who cares? Right now, people can't pay their rent. Like my mother had to move in with her sister because she don't get enough digital credits or currency credits right now. She don't, in other words, it doesn't matter to her. She still can't afford to live. Food is going through the, I'm seeing it now in even some of the people I follow that blog about what they're doing and where they're at in the world, and I'm watching the prices go up and everything get tighter on everybody, the cost of travel going up, the problems at airlines, all this, and what Alex said, all this fake scarcity, because there is no such thing as scarcity in this earth. It's not, it's a naturally abundant place. And what dawned on me in studying the history of the financial system is how going from a hard currency backed, you know, paper, which was just a medium of exchange that's backed by something everyone could agree on that's fair. But how do you steal the wealth of the world? How do you get some unfair advantage that way? You can't.
Yeah.
But how, in other words, how do you multiply your pile over everyone else's? Well, you got to go to some scheme where you can print money for yourself while theirs just keeps devaluing. And so when you look at what kind of friggin' scheme they've been playing us into, telling us all along, you're going to do better than your parents. You're going to do better. You're going to have enough. You're going to, and me, and now, and they were able to sort of keep that flowing for a while.
Yeah.
They could keep that picture through their media, through their game show, Truman Show bullshit world. They could keep us believing it. But what I see is it's not a, it's a pyramid scheme. It's not meant to go on forever. We're coming to some sort of crunch time because they're not able to keep it going. You can't just print forever with jobs that aren't there with, you know, in other words, we don't produce anything. We haven't produced anything in a generation. We, you know what I mean? That we've shifted the money and the jobs to the poorest countries to bring them up a little bit while sinking the other.
Only temporarily.
Because they don't stay in those countries long. They move on to the next one and prop them up temporarily and then move along to the next
one. But wait a minute, not really. Look at Hong Kong in all these years. One of the most expensive places in the world to live. Look at Taiwan. It's one of the most expensive. Singapore is actually pretty damn expensive. And the reason being because what we used to be in as a manufacturing base, which gives your economy something, you know, valid beyond the paper. Everyone goes to work.
You create
make
something.
Make shit that people need, like tires or clothes or food. Yeah. But in our country now, not only do we not make anything, but the little bit that we do make, other than guns and war and prisons, it's made by a fewer and fewer corporate, you know, Walmart. Yeah. In fact, it was weird, you guys. I'll pass this off after this because this is a financial thing I think is indicative of what kind of shithole America has become. And where do you think this pyramid scheme's going? You know, except into some toilet. And what does that mean is what I'm trying to get at. But so I'm watching something just the other day about the 10, I don't know, it's some guy that does a bunch of, 10 best cities to move to, countries in the world, most beautiful places, highest crime, lowest crime, all these different factoid things, right?
Yeah.
And I was interested in what's going on right now because there's the latest ones have been all about the USA, even did one on Mexico. I think I sent it to you guys. It's that same guy that did a thing on the 10 best cities in Mexico to live. Okay. And one of them happened to be Sayulita, where I live.
You did. You
sent that over just yesterday.
That's this guy's channel. And he was doing something about the 10 cost of living. That's right. It was cost of living. Rating all 50 states in the United States.
Oh, shit. From the
bottom. Number 50 was Kentucky.
Oh, yeah.
In Kentucky, it cost $44,000. The basic cut, when he went through what they call that minimum nut that you got to crack to pay rent.
Yep.
Right. $44,000 a year to live in Kentucky.
Yep.
And the number one employer, the biggest employer for most people, Walmart. Dude, it was over half the states in the United States of America. Mm. The other biggest employers were all healthcare systems. Yeah. Systems that own
healthcare.
Multiple hospitals and systems, healthcare. In other words, look at what our country's become in no time under this financial system.
Yep.
Instead of the little people owning everything, instead of the little people having a say, instead of all the mom and pops being secure, nowhere out of fucking work. There's nowhere to hide. There's nowhere to run. Money's the measure. Food costs a fortune. And it's all made by a few friggin' corporations owned by BlackRock. And I mean, hey, wait a minute. What kind of fucking scheme are we on? Right. Where in America, the great, where all the people and all the money is there to make the people stronger. Walmart's the biggest employer in almost every friggin' state.
They sit down with the federal
government, dude, and talk labor and all the rest of that, man. They're giant, dude. It's pathetic.
And it costs you 45 to 50 grand a year to live in almost every state.
Minimum.
And I keep wondering, well, how do you
50 grand, man? Oh, minimum.
Well, so how do you make that at Walmart?
Listen, freedom and democracy, you.
I mean, do the math.
We're number one, bro.
I'm moving to Kentucky because the cost of living's the best there.
I only need
44,000. I only need 44,000 a year. So and Walmart, and there's plenty of jobs at Walmart. So do the math.
It doesn't at all. But I think it has to do with a very unfortunate fact. It has to do with credit, I think.
Well, no, but I mean, who cares about digital currency?
I'm not talking digital currency. I'm talking about actual people are in debt. Okay.
Yeah.
That's how they are. Yeah.
Yeah, they're in debt. I also agree. It doesn't add up. And right now here, it's a big problem. It's probably not happening in Sayulita because, as you shared already, their cash is king, and it's mostly Mexico cash is king. But a lot of people right now are in credit card debt here. They're another kind of debt. They're having struggles with their mortgages. So I think that the debt bomb they have created, it's. Yeah. I mean, just think for a second if the leaders of the world will come on in like a, you know, some presentation and they will explain to us how this debt is going to be paid.
In how many years?
You just hit the nail on the head there, Alex.
Impossible. And they will say, and they say, we shouldn't worry about it. I remember I have a lot of friends from the US and I had a friend from Erie, Pennsylvania. And he was into politics, a younger guy than me. And he was, I don't know, maybe you recall this part, like 2010, 2011, about the debt ceiling. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah.
The country was going to stop.
They had to close the government.
They don't close the government. They shut down a few parks that piss people off because with everything government does. This is why they build bridges before they fix roads, because bridges are something people drive by and they see, oh, look at, they're doing this. They're fixing the infrastructure. Meanwhile, you drive down a road. There's a road in Newton I drive down the other day, dude. It's got WTF, not for Waking the Future, unfortunately, for what the fuck. Fix the road. Like every 20 feet, they got it spray painted. I mean, because literally, I actually had a tire blowout on my truck the other day as a result of these roads. I mean, they're that bad. But
I remember that
on that debt thing, Alex.
Yeah, I say, why are you stressing about it? If they're going to raise it. And they're going to raise it again and again and again and again.
Always.
I mean, obviously it was some kind of political ploy.
They're never going to shut down the IRS. That's for shit sure. They're not gonna stop allowing the Federal Reserve Bank to continue to impoverish.
But you make an excellent point, Pat. How much they're getting from taxes, the IRS, compared to the debt obligations, and it's not the U.S. It's every country in the world. It's everywhere.
Okay, you guys. Let me ask you then. Let's ask the question. So where, clearly, since it should have blown up, they pop these bubbles and you think, oh, it can't go on. All the experts say, holy shit, they can't, they were saying it when we were like $1 trillion in debt. Oh, my goodness. You can't run a, Ross Perot was saying it like back then, like,
dude,
you
right?
Can't run
Ross Perot, man.
Yeah, no, right. Because back then they were just trying to present, I think that working man, they had to give the working man a cathartic expression that, we're getting our say so that the experts could say, yeah, but that's unrealistic. Sit down, Ross. Yeah. You don't know what you're talking about. You'll blow up the country. You'll ruin everything.
Oh, shit. But he's doing good in the ratings, guys. We got to shut him down, man. Man, they took care of Ross Perot.
Well, no, I mean, you're right. I mean, well, they did. Just like all of them. I mean, you think if they let you vote for Bernie Sanders or they let you vote for any of these people that have that working, like Ron Paul,
everyone would have voted for him. No.
But instead, they give you Donald Trump, the cartoon character, the talk show host, right? I mean, that makes sense, right? In a country where you're looking for the most qualified guy for the job, don't give us the lifetime fucking... You know, the real, like, war here, whatever. The Ron Paul, like, you can't get much more dignified in an undignified place as Washington than Ron Paul. But what do you give us? No, I mean, that's, you know, what a laugh.
Well, that's it.
But anyway, so the question is then, you guys, someone's pulling some financial strings to a point, and I see like a pyramid scheme. We all see that this it's kind of unsustainable, and yet they do sustain it. Yeah. But to what end? Where do you think it's going? Where do we think it's, what's the, you know, what are we going off a cliff or forever to keep pretending that we're going off a cliff while they bring us to something new?
Yeah. Honestly, I think, you know, it's going to continue while they continue to bring something new. And I really like, Alex, that you mentioned the debt thing. You know, because here's and very serious on this one. You know, I know I like to laugh a bit, guys, as we talk through these chats and enjoy these chats. But this is something that's super serious for so many people. For the past few years, a lot of people have really they've had easy access to easy credit. They've had easy access to free money from the government, or they've had easy access to all these things. And it's now getting to a point where it's starting to come down, where, you know, you can only take on so much debt, you know, before now it's like, oh shit, how am I going to pay this back and continue to live, given now that the cost of my living has gone up 10x? And, you know, maybe not 10x.
And Walmart's the only place to work.
Walmart is the only place to work, right? So if you're someone who lives in Kentucky, and the reality of it is $44,000, you're not making $44,000 working at Walmart. So you might be lucky enough to work at Walmart for 40 hours a week, right? But now what are you doing other than, right? I mean, and you had mentioned it too, Tony, you know, for me, like, I had never had to worry. And the reason why is because money has always been in abundance, right? Where I have this ability where I can go out and I can do extra work and I can make extra money. And, you know, some people do, some people don't, some people can, some people can't. I'm not talking that. But when we get to a point in life where, you know, the system starts to beat us down so badly to where now there isn't as much work available, or maybe there is, but I can't do it or whatever. I've taken on all this debt in the past 3 years. The government was giving me money, and now all of a sudden they're not anymore. And the banks are still looking for their money. They still want their money, because that's where that system really starts to beat us down. And I think what we're going to start seeing over the next, maybe it'll take a year, is more and more people looking for more and more government assistance, because they're not able to pay back this debt that they've taken on. You know, maybe we'll start to see another housing type crisis start to come up.
Stop paying, as you're saying.
Right. You know, I mean, like, I can remember where I lived in my house with my ex-wife. I can remember the house next door to us. This house sat vacant for 8 years. I shit you not. And on occasion, the woman that lived there, she would like come by and spruce the place up. And then there'd be some people living there for a couple of weeks, because she was like renting it out to them. This place was in foreclosure forever. And this is something I know a lot of people see it around, and it's not new, and it's, you know, but what happens when? And these are all the things where, you know, we could potentially see them start to step in with more and more restrictions and more things that will give them obviously more and more control. And for the ones at the top, you know, that we talked about, right, the Vanguard, BlackRock's, the people that sit on those boards and the ones that are really pulling strings, money really isn't they're not after more money because money's not even a thing for them, right? Yeah, they use it, sure, whatever. Control. It's about control. And it's not, you know, they're not looking to just control you, Alex, or you, Tony, or me, Pat. You know, they're looking, they're controlling countries. These people are controlling all the things. And, you know, it's interesting that, you know, we're getting beaten down. It's costing us, whether it be 2 times, 4 times, 8 times, 10 times more to live our life each day, costs them nothing, you know. And how we get to the point of making some sort of positive change, being able to find solutions to this, that's the major challenge. And you know, yeah. I mean, it's very real. So, guys, we're going to run shy on time here. I've been going since like real early this morning, as always, and I had a hell of a day. So, Alex, what do you have for us in closing, brother?
Well, I wanted to say that I believe, like surely you guys as well, that all of these financial crises are by design. As you say, they control the money. It's like playing a Monopoly game and they have the bank. Remember the Monopoly game? We don't have the access to the bank. Yeah. And whatever they're running short, they get some bills from the bank. And whatever the bills run out from the bank, they just print more bills for their bank. So these cycles, I remember 1987, 2001, 2008. And since 2008, it was kind of expected around 2015 and 16, there was another financial crisis coming. And in a way, I think it hasn't come in a way. But what happened this year, I think is very eventful. They have raised the interest rates all over the world, not only in the US. Europe started, I believe, today or yesterday.
Yeah.
For the first time since 2000, whatever, 8, 9.
Yeah.
And what's going to happen is very interesting stuff. And I think it goes back to what Tony said of the artificial scarcity, is if there was not artificial scarcity, the economies will slow down, will cool down, and inflation will start going down, and it's not going down. I think this is by design. I don't want to be fear-mongering or that, but please embrace for more inflation, because what they're doing with the raising of the rates is they're making money more expensive. So you're not going to have access to the easy credit you were talking about. And then the struggles come. So please be prepared. Have the financial house in order. If you have the possibility to pay up some debt, do that. If you have the possibility to start a new business, a new idea, do it. This is a very good time to put the financial house in order, because in my humble opinion, that's one of the many things they're doing in parallel. And it's a struggle because money, we need air, we need money. I keep saying that. It's very unfortunate, but we need it. Okay.
Yeah. Very well said, Alex.
Thank you. Tony.
Oh, you okay. I thought we were done. All right.
Now, man, well, come on, bro. I'll give you a chance to get that closer.
Okay. I appreciate it. I think they're pushing us, I believe, on purpose, because I believe they don't, you know, control is something they have, so they use control toward an agenda. They have an idea of where they're going with this pyramid scheme. They know they know what they're doing. They're plenty smart. The economists all my life have pointed out how simple it would be not only to have a world without, you know, guns on that end, if you wanted to have a peaceful world, but if you wanted to have economies that flourished, it'd be very easy. I mean, all the schools need to be rebuilt. We could build high-speed railways through our, you know, we could use the billions we let guys like Bezos or so-and-so amass for nothing, for moving stocks around or just stealing it like they did in 08. We'll as a people allow that. We don't demand that those billions get distributed among the people for livable wages, for food that we can afford, for good food grown properly. I mean, there's obviously the abundance is there. So my conclusion is we're on someone's agenda that doesn't want that. The wife of Rothschild famously said one time back in the early 19th century, I believe, it might have been the 18th century, when the kids were growing up, if my children didn't want wars, there wouldn't be any. You know, in other words, they already have the control of the financial system of Europe at the time that this old bitch knew that their kids funded wars to start. So So these are the kind of people that fund this crap into the way they want it. And the problem that we're facing now is it's going to get so bad that, you know, like Alex had started to say, well, you know, don't pay them. Fuck these guys. But the problem is, I think that's exactly what they want. Excuse me. Or it's like when they pushed Japan or Germany into the Second World War. These people don't have any oil. You know,
yeah.
You can't cut them off from oil supplies. They'll die. That's a death sentence. You can't say we're embargoing you and we won't let you have any oil. They have to go to war over that.
Yeah.
Just like you can't cut people off from their food supply. I mean, they'll go crazy. They have to, you know, fight for it. So I feel like this is the weird time we're in, when whether they're squeezing it all just to keep us all gasping for air so we can't really do anything about the changes that they're bringing to us. But they're definitely doing that. They're forcing something around our throats and making us gasp for air. And at some point, like you say, if we can't pay, and they say, well, we can't print any more trillions, it's almost like the crash comes by default, I guess is what I'm trying to say. They're setting it up to, oh my gosh, we did everything we could to save it, but it crashed. And so the thing that I kind of started out with and reflecting on from years ago, so what's all this BRICS talk got to do with that, Pat? You know, what's, if it's just this hegemony, then who are these guys? I mean, Russia and China are under the same Bank of International Settlement central bank system as everybody else.
Here, folks, move along. Nothing to see here.
Yeah, nothing to see here. But I mean, my point is, and it, back then it was striking me that, well, wait a minute, who are these people starting BRICS? These are people under the same central bank system. So it's almost like starting your own. It's like the Crips and the Bloods, you know, getting together to talk about how they're going to divide up, you know, when they're, you know, I don't know when they're going to stage their fight or how they're going to divide up the world or something. Wow. So anyway, I think it's a very interesting time, and a crash is probably just what they're orchestrating.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, at least that's what it looks like.
Could be, yeah.
Yeah. Well,
and even if not, we're going to suffer. And so I think all this digital currency talk, what's the difference right now? Well, none of us can feed ourselves or pay our rent. Who cares?
That's the big picture of it.
Who cares? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, anyway, that's for sure.
Thanks, Alex.
Yeah. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, guys. Coming on. Thanks, Pat.
Yeah. Thank you. We appreciate it. Insert Joel's ending here, guys. Thank you so much for watching.
Everyone, do your own research.
Yeah.
Find your own truth.
Fucking conclusions.